Do you realize how special you are? You know, there are over 6 billion people on this planet right now. And yet in God's eyes, you are unique. You are special. He loves you so much that if you were the only one in all of the world, he would still give his son to pay for your sin, to redeem your soul and give you the gift of eternal life. God loves you, he says, with an everlasting love. Unconditionally, he doesn't care how tall you are, although he knows. He doesn't really care how many hairs you have on your head, although he has counted them. He doesn't care about the insignificant things. He only cares about everything that is important to you. The aches and pains that you have, the worries, the frustrations, the hopes, the dreams, the fears. Those are the things he cares about. He looks into your heart and he knows who you are. The rest of the world may pass us by and never even notice. The rest of the world may not know your name or care. But God knows your name. He knows who you are to the very depths of your being. Today, I would like for us to look into the book of 1 John, the 4th chapter. We're going to begin with verse 7. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. Perhaps you have had a time in your life where you felt all alone, where you didn't know what was going to happen tomorrow. To understand this passage, the most critical thing for us today is to realize how much God loves us. The reality is we have never been alone, and we will never be alone. Jesus makes it very clear. He assures us that he is with us, that he is for us, and that he loves us no matter what. A little girl once asked, "How big is God's love?" She didn't get an immediate response, so she went on and said, "Well, is God's love big enough to put in a shoebox? Is it big enough to put in a suitcase? Is it possibly big enough to fill the whole world?" And even as children, sometimes we get a glimpse of just how big God's love is. As we open the scripture this morning, it says, "Dear friends, let us love one another. For love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love doesn't even know God." Because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. But if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. We talk a lot about love in our culture. I suspect it has created some confusion. What is it? How can you be sure that it's real? Where does it come from? What is true love? Let me suggest to you that it is not a particular feeling, nor is it some nice words, nor is it a sensuous touch. Let me offer a definition. Love is choosing to actively and intentionally give and bless and do for someone else because you want what is best for them, regardless how it affects you. The example for us is so obvious. Jesus came, he left glory to walk on the dusty roads of Palestine, to live and teach, to heal, and to strengthen. But most of all, he came for one reason, and that was to die, to give his life for us. Certainly, there is no greater sacrifice, no greater gift than to give ourselves for someone else. And that is exactly what love is all about. When we show love to others, what we basically do is we sacrifice ourselves for them. Now, sometimes a sacrifice isn't that big. You know, sometimes it's a matter of opening the door for someone, or encouraging them, or saying hello, or smiling. I mean, little things count. But sometimes it means big sacrifices. It means realizing how much God has loved us, we need to love the same way he does. When God showers his love on us, he does it for a reason. And that is so that we can share that love with others. If we hold that love to ourselves and nobody else is blessed by it, it doesn't accomplish its purpose. And that's why the apostle here encourages us, because of what God has shown us, because of the love he's given to us, we need to love him. Now, let's look on in this passage and notice that we know that we live in him and he in us because he's given us his Spirit. What Spirit is that? Well, the Holy Spirit. Why do we have the Holy Spirit? What's the job of the Holy Spirit? To comfort us, to show us God's love, to reveal the things of God. That's what Jesus says it is. So if God's Spirit shows us God's love, and we're working in tandem with the Spirit, then we demonstrate that love wherever we are. In this way, love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment, because in this world we are like him. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. It is not a good thing to be in the hands of an angry God. It's not a good thing to be an enemy of God, because if there's anybody who's got the power to do you in, he has it. It's a terrifying experience to think of all the terrors and frustrations and heartaches that can come our way when we're at odds with God. But this passage reveals something very special. When God makes us his children, when he forgives our sin, when he embraces us, all that fear goes away because we know he loves us. He's going to take care of us in good times and bad times. The child of the devil becomes the child of God. The fearful and quivering discover love, the tenderness, the gentleness of God. What a tremendous comfort it is to know that when we're struggling, God cares. There are times in your life and in mine when we wonder what's going to happen tomorrow. The fears and the doubts come in. We don't know how to handle the situations. But we know one thing. As God's children, we're going to be okay. God's going to take care of us. He's going to provide for us. He is there with us all the time, to make sure that we can face each new day with confidence and hope, not fearing, but assured of his grace. One of the things I want us to notice as we talk about God's love is that it is not passive. Telling someone, "I love you," sounds nice. Might even feel good for the moment. But if there's no action behind it, what good is it? You see, God not only tells us he loves us, he shows us over and over and over again just how much. He reaches into our lives and encourages us when we're down. He fixes problems that we've created. He gives us hope when there doesn't seem to be any. And so as we look at this passage and we realize how much God loves us, it just seems logical that God's love ought to flow through us. It says in verse 19, "We love because he first loved us." Now, God chose to love us, didn't he? Did anybody require him to love us? Are there any particular laws or rules that say that God has to love you? He chose you out of the billions of the people here on the earth to love. In all of your uniqueness. And that's exactly what he wants us to do. He wants us to choose to love. How many have ever met somebody that you just didn't like first time you met them? That ever happen? Or just something about them that just rubbed you the wrong way? I mean, it could be that they had too long a hair, or they had a beard, or they didn't have any hair. I mean, all kinds of things, aren't there? Maybe they didn't wear the right clothes. Maybe they drove the wrong kind of car. I remember going to a meeting one time with my business partner, and we were meeting with a business broker, and he drove up in what must have been at least a $100,000 car. And my business partner didn't even give him the time of day after that. He could not get past the fact that this guy was driving an expensive car. We do that sometimes. But what the Bible's asking us to do is to choose to overcome that. To love people in spite of all of that. Sometimes people will even do things to hurt us. They'll say things. They'll maybe physically do something. And God says, love them anyway. Jesus gets really strong here. He says, Love your enemies. Pray for those who are doing you in. That's a challenge, but it's a choice we can make. And you know why we can make it? Because God has shown us how. He has taught us how to love. He has demonstrated it over and over again. Because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, and yet hates his brother, he is a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. And he has given us this command, whoever loves God must also love his brother. Now that includes sisters too. That includes children, the old folks. Includes everybody, doesn't it? Jesus says there are two great commandments. The first one is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And the second one is to love your neighbor as yourself. And somebody comes along and says, okay, we'll do that. Just tell us who the neighbor is. Missed the point, didn't they? The point is, everyone is our neighbor. And we are to love them. But why do you think that that question was raised of Jesus? There's a good reason. You see, the people of the time had been taught that you're to love your family and you're to love those people who belong to your group and hate everybody else. Did you know that? Anti-Semitism is, means that we don't like Jews, right? Guess what? It was a two-way street. And Jesus says, let's not do that. It doesn't matter where they come from, what they're doing. We need to love them anyway. So I want to introduce you to someone today. Now, I want you to notice something. I put this in a black bag. This is not how you're supposed to treat your friends. This is one of the best friends that you can have. We might call him Teddy. We might call him the Care Bear. But it's really amazing. He will listen to every secret that you have to share with him. He will not give a single word of argument. He won't say a nasty thing about you. He will just sit there and take every word in. He's really great at giving hugs. And he feels so comfortable, just, in your arms. But there's a problem. Even though Teddy is a great listener, he never hears a word you say. And he doesn't really care what you think. You know why? Because he's not alive. But you are. You are alive. God has given you his love. He has touched your life in so many ways. And there are people all around us just waiting for someone to go one step beyond the teddy bear and really care. There are people who are hurting. Perhaps you've come this morning and you're hurting, facing some kind of problems. Finances, gas prices are too high. Jobs are insecure. Perhaps you're having trouble at home. You know, all of those problems are very real. But it does sure help when you've got somebody you can go to and know that they're going to care about your needs. That's why when we talk about the church, it's so important to realize that while we want to keep this building, the church is not the building. It is people who care about each other. It is people who reach out and put their arms around each other in times of stress and heartache. It's people who smile when they see each other. It's people who reach out their hand for a strong handshake or even a hug. It's people who care because God has cared about them. And you know what's interesting? When we love someone, we don't have to control them. We don't have to dictate to them what goes on in their lives. They may not even want our advice. But if we care, we are there for them. I remember years ago, I was attending a class on funerals. And the question came up, what do you say to people at a funeral? And there was lots of discussion, lots of different ideas. And finally the professor said, you know what, folks? You don't have to say anything. Because when people are grieving, they don't hear you anyway. They just need you to be there with them. That's what it means to love. To choose to embrace people no matter what, regardless of how they look or how they might seem or even what they do. To reach out to them and bring healing and encouragement in their lives. That's what God has done for us, isn't it? He's reached out and touched us in so many ways. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. And we love because He first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he's a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. And he has given us this command: whoever loves God must also love his brother. Love is patient and kind. It's positive and helpful. It's encouraging and hope-filled. It's comforting. It celebrates what is right and good. And it never fails. There are a lot of things love is not. It's not envious or jealous or boastful or proud. It doesn't get trapped with the one-upmanship. Let me ask you, fellas, how many of you are good competitors when you win? You know, that's a real challenge for some of us. I remember years ago how intense I would get when we were doing board games. And I decided that I didn't like that part of me, so I don't play cards, I don't play board games anymore. Because I don't want that character flaw to come out. I don't want to deal with it. We need to be able to love people and make sure they win instead of worrying about always being top dog. Love doesn't get angry easily. How many times have you seen people that you just say hello to and they seem to be angry at you already? That's not the way we're supposed to live. We're supposed to embrace people and encourage them. And if we're angry at them, we can't do that. Jesus says, two commandments. He takes all of the law and he summarizes them. The first is to love God. And the second is to love one another. Today, let me challenge you to choose to love, to care for people and encourage them, and to know that if there's nobody else in the world, you're there for them. Because that's what love is all about. Let's pray together. Almighty Heavenly Father, we thank you for loving us, for caring about our needs, our concerns, our fears, our doubts. We thank you so much, Lord, for caring about our problems, that love just has to flow through us, empowering us to touch the lives of others and encourage them to show our compassion and understanding and our love. Father, we pray that your Spirit would move within us, that you would strengthen us within our deepest person, that we might understand more and more of your love, and that we might love others as you have loved us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.